And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the station, into our studio, once again, the city manager of the city of Palmer, Nate Wallace. Welcome, Nate.
Morning.
You know, I'm thinking there's still a little of excitement from last Tuesday when we had balloting for the two seats on the city council that are open. And it looks as if, and I think I've got this right now, looking at the numbers, Brad Hansen will return to his seat. Linda Combs will not. And the other two contenders, Sabrina Combs and Kenny Linden, are pretty much in a toss-up situation, about 10 votes apart, with 94 votes to be counted by the canvas board.
It was a close one. It's still a close one. And today is the canvas board will actually open and count the ballots or early votots, absentee votes, and any question ballots. And there's about 90-plus of those, 94.
Yeah.
So it's still close, even for the top candidate.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it turns out.
And the canvas board, what time do they start working? Do you have an idea about that?
I don't know.
But sometime this morning, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they expect to have the results by 5 o'clock tonight. So it's
right.
And we had one of the highest turnouts of the valley for a percentage of voters. But
I know the 13%, it's all relative.
Still not very many. So it's in one sense, it's disappointing. I'm glad everybody did vote that did, but there's a lot of folks out there that didn't come in, and it's participate in your government so that you have a voice.
Right.
And we had 13%, I think it
right.
was.
Right. So you have somewhat over 4,000 registered voters in the city of Palmer and maybe a little over 800 that actually, there were about 800.
No.
Ballots cast. votes cast.
But 400
and some odd
votes. Voters.
Ballots.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we had 400 separate people come in.
Less than 500 actually come into the polls, plus
right.
another 90 that.
Yeah.
That.
But since they each got not one, but two votes.
Yes.
There were 800 because I counted up how many each of those people got, and the total came to just over 800.
Yes.
So this is one of those cases where. You got two votes. You
didn't, yes.
It wasn't just one.
No. Nope.
You could throw two in there, right?
That's right.
All right. So that will play out, and away we go. You're working on the budget. It's October. It's early in October, and you've got all of, 6 or 7 weeks to finish it up, so no problem.
I think so. it's due to the council the middle of October, so I'll probably present by code a balanced budget, and then we'll have discussions on adjustments to that.
Okay,
any additions or subtractions, and by December 13th the council has to approve it, or by January 1st it goes as is. But we've never gone that far in my time here. I don't know if the council's ever gone beyond their mid-December date approving a budget ever. So
I'm not aware of that. I think they're pretty much what tends to happen is there are more meetings, more.
The presentations take longer than the budget work itself.
Yeah, to make that happen. And unlike the sister city of Wasilla, which has recently passed a tax to facilitate an improvement in their police infrastructure.
Public safety building is how they've advertised it, yes.
Yeah. So that's going to be there. The city of Palmer doesn't have any additional taxing or changes in taxing situations or anything else that was on the ballot. So
no.
Yeah.
And none recommended from the administration standpoint this year. So it's revenue sources will remain the same going into next year.
So, but now it's October. And I'm curious if we have a final sense of what happened at the fair in terms of tax receipts.
Not yet. We're getting close.
Okay.
Some vendors have come in higher, some have come in lower.
Okay.
And what's interesting is it's not a trend on the type of vendor. So it's really hasn't lent us the opportunity to project much. It looks like it'll be at least as much as last year.
Oh, okay. Okay, so pretty much business as usual in one sense.
Yep.
All right. And are there any pieces, if listeners are out there and they're interested in the budget and direction, are there anything at all that are coming up that mark a change from previous year's budgets in terms of focus of the dollars?
No, not really. Our basic services are the first things we look at. So it's public safety, police and fire protection. There is a cutback there because of the dispatch. This will be our first full year as our standalone dispatch. So the budget there has gone down significantly, but revenue has also gone down because of the contract is gone. As far as public safety though, for the city, there's no drop in services there, but that's the first thing we look at is public safety, and then infrastructure, which is our water, sewer, our roads. We've got a major project going on at the sewer plant. We're making recommendations for operations and maintenance that increase a little bit to cover some of the outlying pieces. We've been focused so much on the treatment plant itself. We've got to get back to the lift stations and the manholes and the sewer lines. So some of that work will go on, but that's funded entirely by rates, but that's the rate increases due to the construction that's going on.
So that's the next place to go, of course, is to say, are we looking at, can people expect to have a change in the rates they're paying for water and sewer?
Yes, the water and sewer, there's a water sewer study that was done several years ago that recommended rate changes over a course of about 8 years. And we're still going through that on the water side. I believe this year, going into 18, it was recommended a 5.5 or 6.5. I have to go back and look at that. And then for the sewer side, based on the construction we've done, the analysis was, I believe, 12.9 or 9.9. I have to go back and look at that. Last year we did have a 12%, and we thought we would need a 21% increase this year due to having to fund this entirely through loans. Because we got a loan grant package, we were able to bring the rate back down to something, I don't want to say more reasonable, because our rates are much lower than others and surrounding us that have similar systems, but the something that's not such a jump. So
okay.
The water and sewer will be recommended to increase. Solid waste, we're going to hold the line on that one. The landfill rates have gone up, but we've been able to, in the past, have a pretty good size reserve, and we've been building that to buy a new truck. We got a new garbage truck this year. We'll continue to grow that so we can get another garbage truck in a couple more years to replace our other aging truck, but we feel that we don't need to raise solid waste rates this year. We're going to be able to hold the line on that one. So
okay. Yeah, Terry Dolan, who is Director of Public Works for the Borough, was in yesterday, and in our wide-ranging discussion of things, we touched upon solid waste and were reminded that what goes to the central landfill is costed out by how much it weighs, not the volume.
Yes.
And it's interesting then, as you're talking here, to think that, okay, what we're doing with those blue containers, that one of which I put out, is a volume-based situation, because it could be heavy, it could be light, but it's volume-based. Except that you then, when you take it places, I would assume you have to pay the...
We pay by the weight.
Pay by the weight.
Yep.
Right. Okay. All right.
And we're looking at ways to, for the next year, on how we can reduce what we take to the landfill with recycling, yard clippings, things like that. What can we do to divert from the landfill, working with other partners in the area? So it's, again, trying to reduce our costs and, again, holding our rates down so that we don't pass that on. But last couple of years, the rates increase have been so much that we've had to pass those along. So,
okay. Any change in terms of consideration of recycling, for example, in the city?
Changing?
Meaning making recycling available so that individuals don't have to go out to the recycling center with their individual collection of little recycling pieces.
Again, it comes down to manpower and resources. There's places we could put dumpsters, blue ones, for recycling. But it's not necessarily feasible for the city at this point to sort that before we take it to the recycling center. And the recycling center can't handle volume of unsorted material. So it's
right.
So it's something we're discussing. How can we make it so that we can help collect clean material so that there's not a man in the middle that's sorting it before it gets to where it needs to go, or we're not just dumping unsorted materials at the recycling center. So it's not as easy as just putting a container and hauling it off. There's stuff that happens in between. So we're looking at that. But at this point, we're not set up to have a sorting, pre-sorting type organization in the city.
Okay. All right. Well, it looks as if walking by the exterior fence around the airport, looks like the runway's done. Is it?
It's almost done for the season. The runway itself is done. There's still some cleanup work around the edges and some of the safety work that's going on, but the paving part is complete. It still needs to be sealed, and the weather just didn't cooperate with us. We didn't get the high enough temperatures towards the end of the project. So we're working with the FAA, who is the primary source of funding for that, on whether we end the project and carry that piece on as a new project or leave the project open until next year. So it'll get done. The ceiling for 10, which is the old 927. Some folks are calling it 1028 now. I don't know if it's actually been painted 1028, but that piece is still out there and won't be done this year. But it won't affect operations at the airport. It's got temporary paint on it. It's been temporarily sealed around the numbers where the work was done. So the follow-on piece of sealing that runway will happen next year.
Okay. Have you had any people comment about the smooth quality of the runway?
No. Maybe this winter when it gets a little colder, and we'll see if it's still got the traction that it had in the past.
Oh, right.
We don't suspect there'll be any problems. It's been nothing done different. But
okay. Now, there's a hole in the fence, and I noticed that yesterday.
Hole in the fence?
Section of the fence, where the crosswind runway comes across, and the new pathway that's being constructed along the fence there. And I noticed that there was some black, a layer of black plastic laid down, and what looks like gravel that's going to be put down along the fence.
Yes, as part of that project, there were some leftover materials, gravel, the synthetic fabric that goes down.
Right.
As a separate project from the runway that the FAA is not a part of, we asked the contractor if those materials, if he could push those materials somewhere else. He gave us a great deal on the labor for that, to use those materials. So we're going to connect the arboretum to Cope Industrial Path.
Right.
Gravel. The synthetic layer is going down to keep weeds, so it's easier to maintain.
Sure. That's what it seemed like.
About 6 inches of gravel, and then be compressed, and we'll have a pathway.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Will there be barriers to prevent vehicles from going down there at each end?
Either large rocks or bollards, yes.
Okay.
We'll have something in place.
Yeah.
And then we just encourage the folks that live in that area, if they see vehicles, to call the police, and we'll get them chased out.
Right. And I was very much impressed. I had not been in the field areas to the west of that crosswind runway, and I was very impressed with the flat quality of the field, hydro-seeded sections and so on. But open it changes the whole viewscape to have the brush and smaller trees removed.
Yes, it does. The first piece, again, was safety, to make sure that the larger trees and the ones that could become larger were taken down. Then part of the contract was to grub it afterwards, so it wasn't just a big tangle of roots and things. But the other piece was to make it so it's easier to maintain in the future, so that we can get a brush mower in there and not have to tear it up because of the bumps and dips and swells.
Right.
And also look into the future to what that area could become. While we have graders and everything else, let's try and at least get a clean slate of some sort, and then we've saved some money there for the future when we do something with that area.
Okay. Now, I noticed, talking about projects, we're getting ever closer. We have to go through the winter, then summer will reappear, spring and summer will come, and further work will go on the Glenn Highway, which many people have noticed because of what work has been done on the Pomerosilla Highway and to the end, which seems to be pretty much not quite finished, but finished enough so it's no longer a hassle getting through.
Their goal was to have the pavement down at least the first couple inches going into winter so that it wasn't all gravel and torn up. And I think they've gotten pretty close to that.
Right.
They'll come back and seal it and do the final work next year. And then next spring, DOT will start on the Glen Highway.
Right.
Basically at the just past the tunnel at Auklett and work their way towards the fairgrounds. And then phase two, I think, takes it from the Springer system out to Kepler Lakes.
And I heard I heard a couple of things regarding that construction. One was improvement in the tunnel, which many people I've had people ask me, said, "Where's the tunnel?" Because it's one of the best, truly one of the best kept secrets in Palmer.
Yes, it's at the it connects the east-west sides of the Glen Highway under at Auklett. So that pathway is, it's almost a 90-degree angle into it. So you don't really see it until you're on it.
And especially when it's cold and it's icy, making the turn is fun.
Yeah, so they won't dig the tunnel out. So there'll still be some drainage issues that go on there. But they'll make the entrance. I think they're going to move the road over or the pathway 20 or 30 feet west.
That would be good.
And then it'll have a curve into the tunnel. Right.
Wow, yeah, very much an improvement. Yes, going into it has been interesting. Sometimes what water collects in there to go riding through and then realize it's not just an inch, it's maybe 8 inches.
So some of that drainage may be improved, but they aren't going to raise or lower the tunnel.
Okay. But any improvement would be fine with that, especially as the highway gets to be more impressive. The other thing that came up, and I noted it at the last Palmer City Council meeting, was a discussion about how people who come past the fairgrounds heading toward Palmer will no longer have the gentle Y to go off and into downtown Palmer, but will have to make some hard decisions because there'll be a light there and they're going to have to turn right and then left. And any comment about that?
Now, the project's been in design for over 10 years, and that particular piece has been gone back and forth. And since I've been here, it was actually parts of the conversation I was involved in. It was to move the light from there up to closer to town, where the Tesoro station is at Glacier View.
Oh, right.
But the traffic engineers and designers, they did look at that. We had a conversation with Commissioner Lucan about it, and he had them look at it one more time. But the light configuration, distances between lights with the one at Evergreen and Cobb, is too close for that type of highway. The Y itself, I'm not sure what the design piece on why it's not a Y, but a lot of it has to do with traffic flow and speed control. And with the wider highways at that particular point in time, I believe it's a safety concern on speed control. It's no longer an easy Y. You're
right.
Two lanes, it becomes a potential hard Y, it's fast Y right into the KeyBank Plaza. So that's one of the concerns. And it will change the nature of that intersection to some degree. But I think once the design is done, it will still be a great entrance to Palmer.
Okay. And it doesn't look like, this isn't one of those places where a roundabout would be the solution.
I wouldn't ask for a roundabout there, no.
Okay, I got that. Will there be any roundabouts in
none planned for this, for Palmer? I don't know.
I mean, there's
an intersection
out,
right outside the window here that might benefit from a circle.
Yeah. I'm just saying, because once again, praise to the city and for staying with it and completing the bike path. So it's hard surface now, so that it goes to the east there on the east side of the depot, and it's very nice. It connects, and that's cool. I'm still left with the intersection saying, oh my, this is, and I understand why it has to be the way it is to have a flow of things, but still, it's just one of the most intriguing problems. And I would invite listeners, anybody who has not been there, and we're talking about the flashing red light and the crossing over the railroad tracks and turning left and right by the library intersection, which deserves some very creative work that pays attention to the stop and the movement, et cetera, because it continues to be one of the strangest circumstances. I think many people who first even drive through there, I watch them. I can watch someone freeze.
They hesitate at the T. Yeah.
I'd say, what do I do?
Yeah, it's with the railroad tracks where they are, it's not going to be an easy solution.
Right.
Evergreen is the only straight shot into that side of town.
Right.
And to have another straight shot on Dogwood, or that's really the only place we could, it makes sense to be straight from the Glen to downtown and then across. That may help alleviate some of the congestion that's at the blinking light in that intersection. But it's at this point, I don't have an answer. I don't know what the answer is.
Oh, no.
It is the only intersection or the only road that goes straight in, and it's going to have a lot of traffic. And we've got now two thoroughfares, Valley and Colony, Alaska.
And improving the Palmer Wasilla and improving the Glen, mm-hmm. and everybody comes down and they come pouring through there. And
it's a funnel.
and then there's the flashing light, and you've got people coming from three directions, and then two other directions head on. And anyway, well, I'm saying there's probably some kind of solution there that would allow people to, I don't know, curve or,
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could be a prize, you know. Maybe that what we're suggesting is to talk with whoever has expertise in these areas, DOT, railroad, city planners, et cetera, and put out there and say, okay, here are the constraints and list them all, things you have to pay attention to that must be taken care of when we're doing this. Now, offer a prize to someone who can come up with a solution that will actually allow that flow to happen, mm-hmm. and people to know what they're supposed to do. Yeah. Well, that's good. It's good to have one thing out there that's not solid.
Yes.
Speaking
it's
of...
It's like the perfect game of golf.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So, Fred Meyer building, still there. I noticed it was well built. It's holding up okay. Any thoughts of anything going to be happening with the old building?
I have no idea. I know that they're now have a for lease sign instead of for sale, so they are entertaining other options other than a straight out sale. So that's good news in a sense. But again, from my standpoint, I prefer to see some kind of retail going in there.
Right.
As opposed to a public organization of some sort. The city needs revenue, and we get that through retail. So that's our preference. It would be another private corporation coming in and setting up shop. Other than that, we aren't discouraging anything, but that would be at least my preference. Mm-hmm. I just haven't heard anything that's got any legs behind it yet.
Yeah. I'm thinking someone creating a server farm and putting it there or something.
It would, Alaska is suited for that. You're in the right place.
Right.
We have the power for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, something nice, clean, clean industry, mm-hmm. Employment opportunities, et cetera. Well, if you're listening out there, give it a shot. Think about that one too. That's an opportunity for creative thinking.
Oh yeah.
Mike Malevsky here, and I've been talking with Nate Wallace, who's the city manager of the city of Palmer. And we've come toward the end of our time. And my question, of course, is, are there other things that you want to bring up that we have not touched upon yet?
Well, congratulations to the Palmer High School football team for making the playoffs.
Okay.
The Palmer High School is also hosting the playoffs and the championships for the next 2 weeks.
So we
have a lot of visitors in town this weekend and next weekend. So Palmer High plays Saturday, two games out there. And then the following weekend, Palmer will still be in it, two more games. So we'll expect that area will have a lot of traffic, a lot of visitors into town from that. So if you see somebody you don't recognize, they've got a sweatshirt from Soldotna. Say good luck and wish them well and wish our team the best of luck.
Okay. All right. And with that, we're still looking at termination dust on the mountains. It's not coming on down. So we're not yet at that point where we start talking about snow removal and the rest of it. Maybe it'll be the next time you come in about a month or so.
Yeah, not yet, but we're getting ready.
Okay, good. Well, thank you, Nate Wallace, for coming in today. We're out, and we'll be back next week with another edition of Inside the City.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.